Well, if you were here a couple of Sundays ago, you might remember that I preached on the subject of overcoming temptation and how that temptation is real. We all face it, but that God has made a way for us to overcome it, to escape it. And at the close of the service that morning, the 11 a.m. service, one of our members, Dr. Carey, came up and spoke to me, and as often, people say, good message or something like that. But then he went on to say, he says, but I thought of one other thing that would be really important as we overcome temptation. And I don't know if I should tell you my first thought. but my thought was, honestly, yeah, there's probably 3, 4, 5, 6 more things that somebody could tell us that would be really important as we want to overcome temptation. And I recognize the limitation of any one given sermon. You can't necessarily cover everything that's in the scripture. But I was curious, and I said, what is that? And he said simply, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And he said, because if somebody doesn't have a healthy fear of the Lord, when it comes to temptation, it's like they're on this merry-go-round that they never really get off. They just kind of circle around, and you get tempted, and you fall prey to the temptation, and you ask for forgiveness, and then the next thing you know, you're tempted, and you're just finding yourself right back in that same cycle again. And as he spoke and he shared that, I sensed something quickening in my spirit, and I recognized that it really was a Holy Ghost moment. That what he was sharing was something that was really important, this issue of the fear of the Lord. But I realized that the fear of the Lord, that concept, isn't just one more item to be added. It's not just one more point to be added onto a sermon. And I began to feel the stirring of the Lord to really do something that I've never done before, and that's to preach on the subject of the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Why should we have a fear of the Lord? What are the blessings that come out of the fear of the Lord? I was sharing the next morning, I was talking with Brother Caleb, who did an awesome job in my absence last Sunday. Caleb always brings such a wonderful word, and I was sharing with him what had happened, and he said, Pastor, he said, just this morning in our T-Hop prayer time, the Lord began to bring us to focus on the fear of the Lord. And I just took that as a confirmation that this is a message that we need to hear. You know, it's one time you heard people talking about the fear of the Lord. One time, maybe the way that you would compliment somebody was to say that they were a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. But I would just ask you, when's the last time you heard anybody make a statement like that? We don't really use that terminology. We don't talk about it a lot. The world doesn't want to hear about it for sure. But it seems that even further than that, within most churches and with most Christians, we don't want to hear about the fear of the Lord. We want to hear the feel-good stuff. Come on now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Church is the day that it's all about, let's make people feel good. Let's give them the happy Jesus kind of stuff. We want to talk about the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the generosity of God and the goodness of God. And hey, he is all of those things. Can I get an amen? But there's another side to God as well that the Bible is very clear to tell us about. That there is a God who is holy and just. And he has requirements for us that we be holy and just, and that there is a judgment, that there is even a wrath of God. The Bible talks about God being a consuming fire. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to think about that. And so what we've had a tendency to do in modern Christianity in the church today is we've broken one of the Ten Commandments. We've made another God. We've made another God before God. We've tried to reinvent God, and so we have picked and chosen the qualities of God that we would like to think about, and we've created this God of our own making, who is a false image God, a God that's only good and wonderful and loving and merciful, and we fail to see the fact that, no, he's also a God that requires something of us. He's a God of justice and judgment and wrath and holiness, and we need to pay attention to that. Donald McCulloch wrote a book entitled The Trivialization of God. Guys, if you've got that, put that on the screen. Interesting. The Trivialization of God, The Dangerous Illusion of a Manageable Deity. Now, I just like the title of that. Not that I like it because I just, you know, think that it makes you feel good, but I think it says something. That there's this illusion that we have created that we could fashion for ourselves a manageable God. A God that does what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, and the way that we want him to do it. And that is such an illusion. Let me just pull one quote out of that book. Reverence and awe have often been replaced by a yawn of familiarity. Just think about that for a moment. Instead of an awe of God, a reverence of God, a holy fear of God, it's like, oh, it's just God. He's my buddy. He loves me. This yawn of familiarity. The consuming fire has been domesticated into a candle flame, adding a bit of religious atmosphere perhaps, but no heat, no blinding light, no power for purification. Now that hits kind of hard, because for a lot of people that really is the kind of God that we have tried to create, but we need to get back to an understanding of the fear of the Lord, the awesomeness of God, the greatness of God, to begin to know God for who he really is. And when we understand that, to bow before him in holy reverence. Well, maybe you're thinking something like, well, Pastor, you know, isn't that's the Old Testament God. I mean, the Old Testament God, he was the one that you should be afraid of. I mean, the Old Testament God, he's the one that sent plagues and struck down people and sent in invading armies to destroy cities because they were living in rebellion and disobedience to God. That's the Old Testament God. Let me just tell you, the Old Testament God is the New Testament God. He has not changed. We may have a greater appreciation and understanding for him in the New Testament. We may see some things about him that wasn't necessarily fully understood, because now we've had a chance to see Jesus, who is the reflection of God. We've seen something about his grace and his mercy that maybe we had not been able to see in the Old Testament, but that does not change the character of who God really is. And that's not just Old Testament stuff. The New Testament guys, Paul and Peter and John, they wrote about the fear of God. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. In the midst of loving people and respecting others, he says, but have a fear of God. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, John reveals what he has heard in this revelatory vision. And he says, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. In other words, the fear of the Lord is a motivating factor for us. It pushes us, it persuades us to begin to talk to other people about Jesus, something about the fear of the Lord motivating us. But if you don't want to listen to what Peter and John and Paul had to say, how about the words of Jesus himself? Listen to what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I want us to come back to that in just a moment, but if Jesus says that we should fear God, I think we ought to pay attention today. So what does it mean to fear God? What does that mean? What would our behavior, what would our posture look like if we're living in this holy fear of God? There are three words that I would emphasize, I think, that helps us to grasp this concept of the fear of God. The first word is the word awe, an awe, that we understand that God is an awe-inspiring God, that He is an awesome God. In Psalm 33, verse 8, the psalmist says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Here the psalmist puts these two words, the fear of the Lord and having an awe of God, and he meshes these two thoughts together, that there's something related, that you have this awe of God, this majestic splendor of who God is and what He's capable of doing, and that out of that there is this fear of the Lord. I'm reminded of Isaiah's vision in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember, it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah says that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and he watched as the cherubim and the seraphim flew around him singing, "Holy, holy, holy," and how that the doorposts of the temple shook in the presence and the glory and the awe and the majesty of God. And in that moment, as Isaiah is awe-stricken by God, he comes to recognize who He is. And he says, and woe is me, and I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. The majesty, the awe, the splendor of God caused him to recognize, I must bow before Him. I must change. I cannot stand in His presence with sin in my life. Secondly, there's the word respect that we sometimes use to talk about the fear of the Lord. Listen to the words of God to us through the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. This is God speaking. He says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect?" Literally, fear, says the Lord of hosts. Here God uses two examples that we're quite familiar with to help us to understand what it is to have a fear of the Lord, a respect for God. He first of all uses the example of a child with a father. And he said, you know, as a child has this respect for its father, knowing that they're not on equal playing fields, they're not on equal ground, that the father is superior, the father has greater authority, the father has power over that child, and the child wants to love his father and receive the pleasure of the father, and so it's motivated to want to do everything that it can out of some sense of fear. I'm reminded when I think of that of an incident that happened when I was a teenager. And my dad walked in and caught me right in the middle of doing something absolutely wrong that I knew was wrong. And I turned around to see my dad standing there watching me. And I remember the feeling that I had, this fear, this terror that came over. And not because my dad was a violent man or a mean man by any means, but I realized I had just broken my father's heart. Here he is watching his son doing something so wrong, and I was just broken in that moment, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know, you know, what kind of wrath might come my direction because of my indiscretion. There was this, more than that though, there was this sense that I failed my father. The sense that I've displeased him, the sense that I have dishonored him, the sense that I have disappointed him. And God is saying to us, God who, by the way, every time we've ever done wrong, He called us. He was standing right there behind us. And for us to have this sense of going, no, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to dishonor you. I don't want to discredit you. I don't want to shame you by my actions, by my behavior. And so there is this respect that God is saying that we should have for him. He goes on and he talks about the servant and the master in that same kind of a role. But then there's a third word here that I want to use, and that's just going back to the word fear itself. I want to come back here to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Again, remind you of what Jesus said. He says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If someone was to confront you today with a loaded shotgun, you might have a natural reason to be afraid. What are they going to do? That would be a very natural response. Yet Jesus looks at us and says, don't be afraid of the person who could kill your body, who could destroy your body. Don't be afraid of somebody who can touch this physical fleshly part of us. He says, here's what you really should fear. You need to fear the one, and the only one who can do this is God. Fear God, who's able to not just deal with the temporal, the here and now, but who's in control of the eternal. Have this godly fear of him who is going to be the judge at the end of the day and can, on the one hand, pronounce, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, but on the other hand, could say, depart from me, you who has done evil, into that place of torment forever and ever. Fear him. Jesus wants us to understand that God is a loving God. And listen, I want you to understand that we have a tendency to sometimes fear the wrong thing. Sometimes we get all afraid of the devil. We count him up to be some big bad boogeyman. Sometimes we're afraid of demons and what they might do to us. Or maybe we're afraid of man. In fact, I think sometimes people live in a way that displeases God because they fear man more than they fear God. They fear what man's going to say about them, what man's going to think about them, instead of what God is saying and what God is thinking. And Jesus is saying, no. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about the demons. Don't worry about man. You just need to focus on God. Have a holy, reverent fear of him that keeps you walking in the right path. Because God, and here's the beautiful thing, I'm gonna say it like this. Because if we really fear God, you don't have to fear God. If you really fear God, you're gonna live in such a way that you don't have to be afraid of what God's gonna say to us when we face him in that hour of judgment. If we live our life in fear now, there will be no reason to have any fear then. Because God loves us so much that he doesn't want to. He who is able to, who could, send both our body and soul to hell. But instead, he wants to make sure that we're going to spend eternity with him. And he loves us so much that he made sure that there was going to be a way. He sent his son Jesus, who loved us enough to die on a cross, pay the penalty for all of our sins, so that when we stand before the Lord, we're washed and cleansed and pure in relationship with him, and we don't have to be afraid of that final judgment. But we have to fear him now so that we don't fear him then. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 130. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God loves us. Let me go back to that story. What was my dad going to do? I kept waiting for the hammer to fall. My dad walked out, and I waited for when he was going to walk back in. But he never did. He never said, here's the restriction that you're on. He never said, go to your room, son, and pulled out his belt. Now, I did experience that a time or two in my life. But I don't know what it was. I don't know why my dad somehow, maybe as I was looking into his eyes, he was looking into my eyes. And he saw that there was a remorse that no punishment was going to ever add to. And he had compassion on me that day. And I'll tell you this, I never did that again. I never did it again. It was something that changed that day. God is saying to us, I love you like a father loves his children. And if you'll have that holy, reverent fear of me, I'll show compassion toward you. How do we show our fear of God? Let me share just a couple of quick ways. One would be to seek to know God's will. That we really are demonstrating a fear of God when we say, God, I want to know your will so that once I know it, I can live in a way that honors you and that you can be pleased with me. Listen to the words of Zephaniah 3:7. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction. And so when we receive the instruction of the Lord, we say, I want to know, Lord. The Bible talks about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that I want to know you. I want to walk in wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then secondly, not just to know the will of God, but then to obey the will of God, to do what we know to do. There's where wisdom is. Knowledge is one thing. Wisdom is actually putting it into practice. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and their sons forever. That the fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments is going to make things well for us. Psalm 112:1, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Says the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Fear God, keep his commandments, this applies to every person. There's a third thing that we can show our fear of the Lord, and that is to hate and avoid evil. To say, I don't want to do evil. I don't want to have evil in my life. That shows a fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, I think sometimes people still struggle with sin in their life because they haven't learned to hate it. They haven't learned to hate it. They're dating it instead of hating it. They're teasing with it. They're playing with it instead of hating it and going in the opposite direction. Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 16 as well says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. There are some blessings and some rewards. Let me close this message today to talk about the blessings and the rewards that come when we fear the Lord. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord favors those who fear him. How many of you would like to have the favor of the Lord in your life? Yeah, the Lord favors those who fear him. Psalm 115:13, he will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. How many of you want the blessings of the Lord in your life? He says he'll bless those who fear the Lord. Psalm 31:19, how great is thy goodness which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee. How many of you want to experience the goodness of the Lord? There it is. So God watches over those of us who fear him. In Psalm 33:18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Listen, that's not the eye of the Lord looking on us so he can catch us in doing something wrong. It's the eye of the Lord who's looking over us to guard us and to protect us and to take care of us and to meet every need in our lives. God provides for those who fear him. Psalm 34:9 says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The secret to having all the provision in our life that we need is not that we look to God as though he's some kind of a slot machine and you put something in and then God has to give you something back. No, it's to live in a holy, awesome respect and fear of God, and the blessings of the Lord come. the provision of the Lord is there. God gives a good life to those who fear him. According to Proverbs 19 and 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. It leads to life. It doesn't lead to death. Fearing God doesn't mean going around miserable and walking in some kind of fear. Let me be really clear about this, because I think that there are some people who may have experienced a father who was violent and volatile, and you never knew what was going to happen, and you walked around on, as the saying goes, on pins and needles, scared of what might happen if I upset him, that his wrath might be poured out in my direction. I want to tell you that when we live our lives in this holy, awesome respect for the Lord, we don't have to walk around in pins and needles. We walk in a covenant relationship with him, and we experience all of the blessings, all of the provision, all of the favor, all of the goodness that he wants to pour out in our lives. I'm going to ask our musicians if they'll come. Would you just join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, teach us what it is to fear the Lord, to live our lives in such a way that there is that awe, that there is that respect for you. Lord, to live our lives in a way that, God, we don't want evil in our lives. We don't want sin in our lives. We don't want to be those who are giving in to temptation. But God, Lord, we want to live our lives in a way that really expresses to you just how much we love you, just how much we want you to be pleased with us. We want to hear your words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, sometimes there are those things that are positive that motivate us to do the right thing. But Lord, sometimes there are those negative consequences that we need to be reminded of that also would motivate us to do the right thing. Lord, teach us the beginning of wisdom. Lord, help us to have the fear of the Lord. I wonder this morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there could be that there will be someone here or someone that's watching us online who you've not really had a fear of God. You've had a tendency to try to remake God into a different God of your own making, a God that you could manage. But today you've been reminded that that's not the real God, that God is a holy God and a just God, and that there are expectations that he has of us, and we want to live our lives out of awe and fear and respect of him. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you've never made God the Lord of your life, he wants to welcome you in. I want to tell you, he's not angry with you. He loves you. He does not want to send your soul to hell. He sent his son Jesus to a cross so that he does not have to send us to hell. But we have to bow and receive that gift of eternal life that Jesus offers. So if you're here this morning and you know I need to make that decision to surrender my life to this awesome God who is worthy of my love, of my honor, of my respect, of my awe, of my fear. If you would like to surrender your life to him, would you just raise your hand right now, and I want to pray for you. Anyone in this place today? I don't see any hands lifted. Lord, there may be those that are watching online today. We would just pray for them. Holy Spirit, would you just woo them in, draw them in as we make that decision that we're going to live for you. And Lord, I would just pray for all of us today, saint and sinner alike, or because sometimes we get just a little too familiar. Sometimes we become just a little too casual. Sometimes we tend to take things for granted. Lord, I pray that if any of us, Lord, if we've lost that sense of the fear of God. Lord, that He would cause us to come back to that place, Lord, where the beginning of wisdom is, the fear of the Lord. And Lord, begin to learn the wisdom. Begin to learn, Lord, what it is to walk with You in a way that honors You and pleases You. Let our lives, God, demonstrate, Lord, the fear of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that the favor and the blessing and the goodness of God would be ours. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'd come and join me here at the front. If you came this morning and you need prayer for anything in your life, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to stand in agreement with you. If there's a struggle, a trial, something that you're going through, and you just need somebody to just stand and say, I'm with you in this. I love you and I care about you. We stand ready to pray and join into agreement. Would you stand with me all over this place today? Lord, we love You this morning, and we fear You. Lord, not afraid that You're going to strike us down for some frivolous reason, but Lord, that we would please You, fear that we would live our lives in such a way that You would be pleased with us. Lord, that we would sense Your smile upon us. God, that we would walk in that holy reverence, that holy awe, that holy fear of the Lord. Lord, and that men and women could look at us and say of us, that's a God-fearing man. That's a God-fearing woman. Lord, that You would be honored in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.